Grace be unto you, peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Advent, the coming, the promised coming, the coming that never stops coming. The words we just heard from Isaiah never cease to captivate me, fascinate me. For on the one hand, they're rooted very deeply in time, in a unique situation. At the same time, they transcend time. They anticipate time. They dip down into time as they pull time along. His are words that never stop coming. Matt, would you, we got to hear it again, if you would please. It wasn't your voice. We just want to linger a little more lovingly on those sacred words. Comfort, they begin, comfort. Speak tenderly. Service has been completed. Has been completed. Sure sounds like it anticipates it is finished. And therefore, her sin has been paid for. We're in sacred time, not time that is locked down by the ticking of a clock, but guided along by those words that keep coming. Matt, would you read verse 3, please, again?
Sure. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Prepare the way of the Lord. What an awesome challenge. That's of a whole different order from preparing for Christmas or preparing for Black Friday or Cyber Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's all gone. That's not part of sacred time. We're at a different level here. How do you do that, though? How does the way of the Lord get prepared? Riding on the thought that these words transcend time, what comes to my mind is that on a different occasion, I figure Joseph and Mary were very much preparing the way of the Lord. What do you think? Because he was coming. Physically, he was coming. And they needed a place for the Lord, for themselves too. And they had a long, arduous journey with a donkey trudging grudgingly along the way. And Mary grimacing with every step along the way. And she, more than preparing for the way, she was bearing the way. The I am the way, the true and living way. Which, like the words, never stop coming. Prepare what the Lord, what the way does is to pull that verb into himself and say, I will prepare a place for you. My Father's house. Matt, take us on to verse 5, please.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, who gives light to every person, every people, all humanity. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. No wonder the words never stop coming. We're in sacred time. 6 to 8, please.
A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
So it's not just the words, it's the word. The word of our God stands forever. But it doesn't stand still. It keeps on coming, bouncing around in Mary's womb on a donkey. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's where we see his glory, in the flesh and on the cross and risen, full of grace and truth. Verse 9, please.
"Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God."
Good news. Good news in the midst of bad news. That's the gospel. Bad news, like what must have seemed like an eternal exile from home as well as from God. Bad news in what was a heavy-handed, resented Roman rule. Bad news in what has been just this past week an unnerving, almost apocalyptic Ferguson. Lift up your voice. We need your voice. Lift up your voice and shout out the good news. Well, that's what jumping through time again, that's what St. Mark did, and not only his voice, but his pen. It's interesting, not interesting, silly talk. It's important to note that when he picks up his pen and announces the good news, the beginning of the good news, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he takes it back to these words that Isaiah had bequeathed to us for how many years? And you can make the case really that Isaiah was just a stopping point for the Spirit, as this word and these words never, ever stop coming. And they come to us and through us and beyond us into a fragile and a fractured world. The last two verses, Matt.
"Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young.
Thanks. Behold, I like that word. Newer translations make it much more prosaic. See, okay, I like behold. Behold your sovereign God. That's big. Behold the man. And they're connected. Behold the word. Behold the shepherd who tends, lovely verbs, tends and gathers and carries and leads his flock. The shepherd, the word who never stops coming. In a sense, thought, not in a sense, the thought that kept rumbling through my mind working through this text is this: how in the world did Isaiah know all of this? How did he do this? How did what he say just resonate so clearly with the time that the words became the word? Well, one answer, and it's a good one, St. John very casually tucks a little comment into the middle of his gospel, and he says, well, you could say, I don't know if it's in the text or not, duh. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Indeed, and it's uncanny. But in another sense, it seems to me that this is just another illustration, though, of how the words kept wafting through the centuries and dipping down at all points, including Isaiah, and touching and caressing and providing hope until they reach their destination and words become word. And the words are not just fulfilled, they are filled full to overflowing. And one of the things that drops down from heaven is that phrase, it is finished, the word. And their sin, our sin, has been paid for. And what is marvelous is that the words don't just stop there. As with the burst of wind that Jesus clued Nicodemus to, the Spirit continues to propel those words, that word, that good news, to every place and every people and all humanity. The word never stops coming. Today, we especially observe the servants among us who celebrate anniversary of their service, and the word, one of the words for the day is thank you for being among the places where the word never stopped, and the places where through you the word never stops, and selected you to bear this word. Or was it the word that bore you? Or how do you divvy that up? As the Father has sent me, so I send. The word doesn't stop. So I send you. As the Father has called and sent Isaiah and the other prophets, so I send you. As the Father has called and sent the disciples, so I send you to bear and share the word that doesn't stop coming. As the Father has called and sent you, so I send those I have called through you. Thank you. It keeps coming. I don't know your feeling. Sometimes I feel this business we're in, where the word keeps coming to and through, feels like we're in over our heads. It's a darn good thing it keeps coming. Sometimes at the same time, you feel just a little bit giddy when you think that we're part of a work of salvation that has been at it for how long? And is looking ahead for how long? Unto the end. Well, there really isn't an end, is there? To our days, maybe. To this earth we live on. Not to the word, which keeps on coming. Advent for the long haul. Emmanuel, forever. May the peace of the coming one keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus for that long haul. Amen.